As we open our Bibles this evening, I'll invite you to do so to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 1. 2 Chronicles, chapter 1. Of late, we've been considering in the evening services some of the great characters of the Old Testament and the lessons that their lives would teach us. Tonight, in the time that we have before us, I want to take a brief look at one event in the life of Solomon and consider together just a few verses 7 through 12 of 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Tonight I want us to learn the value of the wisdom that is from above. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, follow along as I begin reading in verse 7 down through verse 12, and then we'll stop and ask the Lord's blessing upon our time and our study. We read in verse 7, "In that night did God appear unto Solomon, and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee. Neither shall there any after thee have the like." Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon our time tonight as we come to study the thoughts of wisdom that's from above. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful tonight that as we come and we gather together around the Word of God, we can find truth that can help us as we live day by day. We find it in the lives of those that have lived before. These things have been recorded for our example, that we may walk in the ways of righteousness and truth, and that we might walk in wisdom, that we might be a people that are pleasing in thy sight, vessels fit for thy use in these days. Lord, we live in days of great darkness all around us. You have called us to be light in the midst of that darkness. You have called us to be salt that preserves such wickedness upon the earth. And Lord, to do so effectively that we might bring honor and glory to our Father, there is a need for wisdom. Lord, we need not the earthly wisdom, we need wisdom from above. That same wisdom that Solomon asked for, we need here even tonight. We call upon you, Father, when we ask that you would grant to us such wisdom and understanding. Give us a heart that seeks wisdom. For Lord, even as we read this morning, its price is far above silver and its value better than gold. So Lord, we ask and pray tonight that you would teach us and instruct us from your word. We'll thank you, Lord, and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, and we begin to look at the life of Solomon and this event in his life, it's important that we understand what's been taking place. Solomon has just been now made king over all of Israel. His father David reigned over Israel for 40 years. He has just now passed away, and Solomon now stands in his stead. Under David, the great warrior king, Israel's empire had expanded, its enemies had been destroyed, and David had been used greatly of God to bring together a nation not yet formed and truly united together. And now they have seen the wonderful blessing of the Lord upon them under their ruler and leader David. He was a man greatly loved by his people. Before his death, David appointed Solomon. And you'll remember that Solomon is the son of Bathsheba. He was not the oldest of David's sons. But David appointed Solomon to reign in his place. I want you to imagine how Solomon must have felt. What an awesome responsibility is now laid upon his shoulders. It was his to rule over the people of God and to follow in the footsteps of Israel's warrior king. It is not easy to follow after someone who's been great. Joshua was asked to follow in the footsteps of Moses. That wasn't an easy task. And Solomon is now asked to follow in the footsteps of his father David. No doubt Solomon would feel overwhelmed with the task that is before him, as you and I would be prone to do if God laid before us such a great task. It was an awesome responsibility. The Bible tells us in verse 7 that in that night, God came to Solomon in a dream. And God offered to Solomon the opportunity of a lifetime. For God would pose to Solomon this question, "What shall I give thee?" What an opportunity before this one now asked to rule and reign over God's people. I want you to put on your imagination caps tonight, and I want you to place yourself in Solomon's shoes. I want you to think about this offer for a moment. God has just come to Solomon and said to him, "What shall I give thee?" Consider that. Number one, I want you to understand and see that this offer is made by God. Why is that significant? Well, those of us that have been here on Wednesday nights and studying the names of God will recognize that when we see that word God in our Bible, it reminds us of the Hebrew name Elohim. And Elohim reminds us of a God who is great in power. It reminds us that He is sovereign. It reminds us that He is the creator of all the earth and therefore is the one who rules and reigns. It reminds us that God and God alone has the power to do all things whatsoever He wills. And now that God, Elohim, comes to Solomon and he asks, "What shall I give thee?" And he has the power to give anything that Solomon would ask. He can do all things. There is nothing that's impossible for God. With God, all things are possible. Not with men, but with God, it's true. He is omnipotent. And He has come to Solomon and He has given him this opportunity. "What shall I give thee?" But you know, I want you to notice something else, even from that question. The question that is asked is, "What shall I give thee?" Again, those of you that have studied with us the names of God, remember that that little word "I" will remind us of God who is the great I Am. When Moses would ask the Lord, "What name shall I give unto the people?" God would say to Moses, "I am that I am." The name Jehovah. And it is Jehovah God that comes to Solomon with this request. James Smith reminds us that this "I" is the "I" that filleth eternity. He is the self-existent God. He is the eternal God. And He now has come to Solomon and said, "What shall I give thee?" At Solomon's disposal is all the wealth of God's kingdom. And all that he needed to receive was to ask. I want you to put yourself in that place for a moment. Some of you might say, "Well, Pastor, I don't know that we can really imagine something such as that. That's a unique opportunity. God doesn't work that way any longer. God's not going to come to us and say, "What shall I give you? So why even think about it?" Because, folks, God does for us something far greater than what he's ever done for Solomon. I want to remind you of the words of the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul writes and said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Peter reminds us of the same truth in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness." Paul reminded Timothy that our God gives us richly all things to enjoy. No wonder why Paul would be able to say in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, that all of us who know the Lord can trust in the Lord and trust in the God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He gives us all things richly to enjoy. And all that we must do is but ask for those things, and he is willing to give as a father delights to do good and give unto his children. We serve a wonderful God, and he delights to do good unto us. He longs to bless us beyond measure, that our cups would run over. Folks, the only reason that you and I lack anything in this world today of blessing from God is because we simply refuse to ask. James chapter 4 reminds us that we have not because we ask not. The other reason that we sometimes lack is because that which we ask for, we only desire to consume the goodness of God upon our own selfish lusts. Well, folks, you and I have this same opportunity that Solomon was given. God Almighty, Jehovah God, has come to him and says, "What shall I give thee?" As we return to those thoughts in Solomon's life and we consider what he would ask, we find that that which Solomon asked the Lord for was pleasing in his sight. Now, as I consider the request of Solomon, I'm reminded that Solomon never had the opportunity that you and I had to read the words in James chapter 1. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Solomon, though, understood that he needed wisdom. He knew that if he would ask of God, God would give to him liberally and not upbraid him for such a request. Solomon asked that the Lord would give to him, according to verse 10, wisdom and knowledge. You could turn back to 1 Kings chapter 3 if you like. You don't need to. That's the parallel passage to this one here in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. There we find a little different wording. There we find it recorded that Solomon asked for an understanding heart to judge God's people and the ability to discern between good and evil. With those two thoughts in mind, with these two passages together, I want us to consider what it was that Solomon was desirous of. What it is he asked God for. In our passage before us, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 10, Solomon would ask for wisdom. The word wisdom simply means to be skillful. What Solomon desired was to be skillful as the king of Israel. To be skillful in his ability to judge and rule over the people that were as the dust upon the earth. He desired wisdom from God.
He realized that there were things that he was going to have to face and decisions that he would have to make. And he desired to have the skill from God to make wise choices and right decisions, to judge properly and to rule well. He understood the immensity of his task and he desired to be skillful, to be wise. He also asked for knowledge. That word simply speaks of the ability to have good intellect, to understand. He wanted to know what was the right thing to do as he would rule and judge. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we find that phrase, to have an understanding heart. That phrase means to hear intelligently, to be able to consider wisely the facts, to call everything together when it was time to make decisions and choices. He also desired to be able to discern good from evil. The idea of the word discern simply means to separate. The idea there is to be able to clearly separate good from evil. That he would see it plainly and clearly. That it would be obvious what was good and obvious that which was evil. So that he wouldn't fall in the trap to call that which is evil good and call good evil. He wanted to be able to discern right from wrong as he judged over the people of God. What Solomon wanted from the Lord was the ability to think clearly, decide properly that which is best, and that which was according to the will of God. He desired to be skillful and smart in the decisions and judgments that he would make. He longed to be able to distinguish good from evil as he carefully considered the facts and called everything together and judged God's people. He wanted wisdom. And to him, wisdom was the principal thing. Wisdom was that which we should seek after. No wonder why God would use him to pen many of the Proverbs, which teach us how to get wisdom and get understanding. Solomon desired to have that ability to be wise and discerning, and understood that that wisdom came from above. It came from God. Folks, you and I today live in a day and age in which we need wisdom. Moms and dads, we need wisdom as we direct our homes, as we bring up our children, as we counsel them in the things of God. We need wisdom as a church for decisions that we must make and directions that we must choose and things that we must do. Can I take a few moments and just give some thoughts to us in relation to wisdom? Can I speak to mom and dad for a moment? Mom and dad, you and I need to be skillful as parents as we discern the will of God for our children, as we bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're making decisions that are going to affect the futures of our families. And we need to consider wisely the facts that are before us. We need to ask the Lord to give us the ability to intelligently discern and make the right spiritual choices for our families. Dad, much of that falls at our feet. For God has called us to be leaders and heads of our homes. Sir, that's your responsibility before your wife, to walk wisely and to teach and instruct in the ways of wisdom. Because the choices that we make are going to have an impact on the future of our families. They're important choices. They're important decisions. And oh, that God would give us wisdom. Think about some of the choices that we make within our homes as parents. We deal in areas such as finance. How are we going to use the monies that God has given to us? That's going to make a difference. By the way you use money at home is probably the way your children will use money in their home, and so forth and so on. And the reality is, the choices that we make for finances are going to affect our family and their futures. We made choices about relationships for our families. Mom and Dad, I believe it's your decision and your choice to determine who should be your friends to your children. There are just times that we as fathers and mothers just need to say, you know what? That young person, as nice as they may be, are not a good influence on you. And I love you enough to say, you just can't spend time with them. Because every time you're with them, you make all the wrong choices and you do all the wrong things. And we need to separate for a little bit. We need to put some distance between until some changes are made. We make choices about relationships. We make choices about church. We make choices about our children's religious education. Will we come to Sunday school? Will we be in every service? Will they go to the rant? Will they be in youth group? Will we be involved? We make those choices about our relationship with God. Whether or not we'll have a time of devotion, a time of prayer with them. We make choices and help them with decisions for their career, what college they will go to, who they will marry. And by the way, some of those larger ones, we sometimes think, well, that's their decision. I'm going to respectfully disagree, Mom and Dad. You have been given to be the leader to them until they leave your home. Until they're an adult on their own. The choice that they make from college needs to be made by you with them to help them make the right choice as to where they go, because probably there is where they're going to find that mate. Probably there is where they're going to make their decision for what career they will have. And those are big choices for young people not really ready to make them alone. Marriage maybe being the largest of all choices. Mom and Dad, if you just don't like them, speak up and say so. We talked this last week about some friends of ours. We actually talked about a couple different families this week. We looked at their lives. In many ways, they're very similar. Each with 5 children. Each man who served the Lord and pastored. Each with children now growing up and on from their homes. As we looked at those families, as we talked about some things even with our own thoughts for the future, we were amazing to consider that one family, it seems that every one of their 5 children married poorly. And it's affected the way their children live and the way their grandchildren are being brought up. And then we considered the other family and how they were choosing wiser mates. You know, the difference is that somewhere along the way, moms and dads got involved. Said, honey, he's not good for you. She's not good for you. You would be better off being single than being married to that individual. Mom and Dad, we need wisdom. Because that choice is a choice for a lifetime. And it would be far better for our children to never marry than to marry the wrong one and to face the issues and problems that come because of them. We need wisdom as we bring up our children. By the way, you may think that I've overstepped a little bit there. I'm just giving some thoughts, and if you don't like it, you can throw it out. That's okay. We know what we're going to do for our family. We make some big choices as moms and dads. And by the way, those of you who are grandparents, you still have the opportunity to have a wonderful impact on the lives of your grandchildren. Don't miss out on those. Spend the time with them. Give them counsel, talk with them, share with them what God has done in your life. Let it be known, let it be heard. Have an impact on their lives. We make choices about the church and we need wisdom. Tonight we're coming to collectively seek the will of God with relation to our budget. In all of these things, we have asked that we would pray. And seek the face of the Lord and seek His wisdom, because we need wisdom. We shouldn't take these things lightly. They're important choices. And some may think, well, it's really no big deal what we decide. It really is. It does make a difference. We need to consider wisely what we do and ask God to give us wisdom. And God promises that He'll give if we will ask. How is it that Solomon was able to come to such a choice? when it came to his request from the Lord. Some might think that Solomon was just an exceptional man, that he was unique. But I would offer you tonight that Solomon came to that choice because of the preparations that were made before he offered his request. I want to just point those out to you briefly tonight. We're looking in the life of Solomon and we're beholding one simple event in his life. And sometimes when we do that, it's easy to think that that's an isolated incident in his life. But there were things that surrounded this event. There were preparations so that when God would come to Solomon and God would say, "What shall I give thee?" he was able to make the right request as he asked for wisdom and knowledge and understanding heart, the ability to discern right from wrong. What were those preparations? We're not going to take the time to turn tonight. You can do so if you like. I'd encourage you simply to mark these things down. I don't want to belabor our time too much tonight. But in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, I believe the first preparation that was made in Solomon's life was a time of instruction. A time of instruction. If you're turning to 1 Kings chapter 2, you're going to find that in these verses, David, before his death, is meeting with Solomon. He has chosen him to reign in his stead. And before David would go off to be with his fathers, before he would die, he would give to Solomon instruction. He would give to his son a final charge. He would call upon his son to walk in the ways of the Lord, to keep his commandments and to keep his statutes. David had taken the time to teach these things to his son, and Solomon, no doubt, was pondering this charge of his father when the Lord would appear unto him. But David came to his son before he would die and said, "Solomon, let me give you a charge. I have taught you and I have instructed you in the ways of the Lord. Walk in those ways, walk in his statutes, walk according to his commandments, that you might know the blessing of God. God has given to us promises that he would give me one that would rule in my place as long as we live, and as we sought his face and as we served our Lord. Solomon, continue in those ways that I've instructed you." As I think about that, I'm reminded how blessed we are as a people. That before us are the instructions of Almighty God. Before us are His commands. Before us are His statutes. He has established before us times of instruction. He has given us times that we come and we study the Word of God. And we ought never to despise the instruction of the Lord. But like Solomon, we ought to ponder these things within our heart. We ought to receive that which has been given unto us. Paul would say to Timothy, "The things that I have committed unto you, the same commit thou to other men, that they may be able to teach others also, that you may walk in the ways of righteousness, in the ways of truth and holiness." God has given us all that we need for life and godliness. He has instructed us in His Word, and we need to heed such time of instruction. Why is it that Solomon could come and ask of the Lord for wisdom and knowledge, not riches and honor and the life of his enemies? Because Solomon had been instructed by his father David. There's another interesting event that I think precedes this decision. We'll find it in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 again. And that's a time of dedication. Look at verse 2. Solomon, verse 1 says, "The son of David was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord God was with him and magnified him exceedingly." Verse 2 says, "Then Solomon spake unto all Israel, to the captains of thousands and hundreds, to the judges and to every governor in all of Israel, the chief of the fathers. So Solomon and all the congregation with him went to the high place. That was at Gibeon. And there was the tabernacle of the congregation of God, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. But the ark of God had David brought up from Kirjath-Jearim to the place which David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Moreover, the brazen altar that Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before that tabernacle of the Lord. And Solomon and the congregation sought unto it. And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. Solomon has just been made king. This revelation was soon to come to him from the Lord. But before that revelation of God, there was a time of dedication. Solomon and the congregation who would follow him would travel to Gibeon, and Solomon would offer 1,000 burnt offerings before the Lord. That was of great cost to him. But yet to Solomon it was a small thing. Matter of fact, he would follow that same pattern as he would one day dedicate the temple, and the sacrifices that he would offer were great. God had blessed him with the blessing of being king, and he desired to show his thankfulness unto the Lord. He willingly made himself dedicated unto the Lord. He offered his sacrifices to God. That time of dedication, I believe, was the result of a third thing that we see, which caused Solomon to make such a request. Look at verse 8 and 9. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people, like the dust of the earth in multitude. There was a time of reflection. There was a time of reflection. As the Lord approached Solomon, we find that his response, that Solomon had taken time to reflect upon the goodness of the mercy of God. It was the reason he would come and make his 1,000 sacrifices unto the Lord. And I will remind you that each sacrifice was designed of God to remind men of God's holiness and man's sinfulness, and the necessary sacrifice that was required to bridge the separation between God and man. Every time one of those animals was offered, he was reminded that God is holy and I am a sinner. I am unworthy. And the only way that that separation between myself and God can be bridged is through the blood of these animals and me seeking the Lord. Solomon had taken time to reflect upon such truth. He understood that he was undeserving of God's goodness and his mercy. And he understood that God had showed great mercy and great blessing unto his father. And now he had showed it unto him. Solomon also understood that God had made promises unto David his father, and he asked the Lord to fulfill such promises. Verse 7 says, It was in that night, in the night that the sacrifices had been made, in relation, following the time of instruction, following a time of dedication and a time of reflection, Solomon now lays his head to sleep. And in the night, in a dream, Jehovah Elohim appears to him and says, Solomon, what is it that I should give unto you? What do you ask of me at the beginning of your reign? The implication is, whatever you ask, I will give. The wealth of all of heaven is at your disposal. What do you want? I want you to put yourself there and ask yourself the question of what would you have asked God for in that moment? Long life and good health? Riches beyond measure? Friends and family? What is it that you would have asked? Solomon came and said, Lord, you've made me king instead of my father. You have caused me now to be the one who will rule and judge these people. What I need is wisdom. What I need is knowledge. I need an understanding heart. I need the ability to discern between good and evil. Lord, grant me that desire that I might rule these people, your people, well. Folks, you know what we need in these days before us? We need wisdom. That we might be a people that walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing and do every good work. That we might be a people that would be to the praise and the honor and the glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That we might know how to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We need wisdom. We need wisdom to know how to direct our homes. We need wisdom to know how to direct our church. We need wisdom to know how we ought to be as we go to our places of employment, as we seek to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need wisdom. We need a wisdom and an ability to discern good from evil as this world bombards us with things that they are mixing truth and error. We need to be able to separate them clearly. This is right and this is wrong. This is good and this is evil. And we will walk in the ways of righteousness and truth and holiness. How do we get it? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Folks, if you and I come and we ask God for wisdom, it is the one request that he will not upbraid us for. He will not come back and say, why would you ask for that? But instead, he will liberally give us that we may walk skillfully as we consider the facts that are before us, the truth that lies before us, that we might be to his praise and honor. The amazing thing is this, on Solomon's heart, all that he wanted was wisdom. God then would bless him beyond measure and say, because you have asked of these things, I'm actually going to give you more. Matter of fact, Solomon, there will be none like thee. There has never been one like you before, and there will never be one like you after. God blessed him because within his heart, all he wanted was wisdom. If God came to you tonight and said, what can I give you? What would you ask? I hope we would ask truly from the heart, Lord, give me wisdom, that I might know how to direct my family, that I might know how we ought to be within the church and behave as we ought to, that I might know how to win my neighbors for the Lord Jesus Christ, that I might know how to be a testimony there at work and allow the gospel light to shine. Lord, give me wisdom. Wisdom's the principal thing. Let us seek wisdom. Its price is greater than silver. It's better than rubies and gold. We need wisdom. May God help us to seek wisdom in our day. Shall we pray?